TanCast does not represent the stand-up of Tim Babb.
These conversations are raw, explicit,
and contain adult themes and content.
This podcast is not recommended for younger listeners or anyone.
There was an idea to bring together a group of three opinionated idiots to see if we could become a mediocre podcast. So when the world needed us, we could waste the time that they never could.
Tim.
Andy.
Noah.
TanCast.
Hi, I'm Tim Babb, an extremely obscure stand-up comedian. I started this podcast because I thought it might be interesting to find out what makes a comedian laugh. In my case, it's my two old roommates, Andy and Noah. They're not comedians, but they always used to make me laugh. But now we don't live together anymore. So, we decided we'd do this podcast every week and try and make each other laugh and record it so maybe we make a few of you laugh as well.
This week, we talk about working from home, injured children, talk about upcoming movies, and eventually we discuss Avengers Infinity War. And when you hear this sound,
the end is near.
That means we've put a link to whatever we were just talking about in the show notes. Okay, let's start the show.
TanCast.
Welcome to TanCast.
Indeed. Woo! Welcome to TanCast.
I'm Tim, the T in Tan.
Exactly.
And directly off the rails we go.
We're back in our ditch.
That's how we do it, guys.
Noah's just on the train like, where's the steering wheel on this? I'm going to take this off-road. No, they're rails. Off-road!
I'm Tim the T in TanCast.
I'm Andy the A in TanCast.
I'm Noah the In and Tanker.
Noah's just going to do his own thing today.
Today. Come on. Come on. What are you talking to, buddy?
Come on.
I mean,
come on.
Let's be real for a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real about it, guys.
Yeah. This was always going to be what happened.
So we were off for last week. So how was everybody's weeks?
How the fuck was everyone's week? Was it good times or was it bleak? We'll find out on our very next segment. How's your motherfucking week?
Not bad. Got to get out of the house, go see a movie.
Oh, I got out of the house and saw a movie too, guys.
More on that later. Let's talk about our weeks before we get into that.
I was just really enjoying the fact that since my new job lets me work from home, I was able to like work some before the movie and work some after the movie and go to an airing of the movie that was like right in the middle of the day when there was like fuck all people at the theater. That was
nice.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I got to work from home last week, but not under ideal circumstances.
Hmm.
Michael was at school. It was running in the cafeteria, which is a no-no. Slipped and cracked his head on one of the benches, so we had to take him to the ER.
Ah, that kid loves cracking his head on things.
Oh!
Yeah, doesn't he?
All kids do.
And like,
therefore I can speak for all of them.
They called me from the school, and they're like, hey, we just tried to call your wife, and like the connection was breaking up, but Michael's here, and he slipped, and he hit his head, and we got him here, and he's got a bandage on, but we think this might need some more medical attention. And she's super cash sounding about it. I'm like, all right, well. I'm like, hey, guys, I got to take my son to the ER, and so I don't know how long I'll be back. And my boss's like, oh, do you want to work from home the rest of the day? I was like, yes, I do. That would be amazing. I wouldn't have to take any time off or whatever. So anyway, I go to get him. And like, there he is. He's got his back to me. And they're like, okay, I just want you to see. We'd let you see it. And they pull the bandage back. And it's like slit open above his eye or right below his eyebrow. And it's like, you know, like, I was like, okay, I've seen many a Rocky movie, and I always thought those prosthetic makeups were very fake looking. Apparently not. He looks like he went a couple rounds with Creed. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, we do. Yeah. All right, Michael, let's get up and let's go to the hospital.
I mean, that's probably why they weren't freaking out. Like, if we freak out, he's going to freak out, you're going to freak out, everyone's freaking out.
Exactly. Like, okay, you were trying to keep him calm, but you did not really convey to me the seriousness of the situation. So then we took him to the hospital, blah, blah, blah. He didn't need stitches. He just needed glue, so that's nice. But then the next day he woke up, his eye was swollen shut.
Yeah.
It was like, I was like, oh. And then, like, so this happened, like, during his after school, like, they have an after school, it's not daycare, but whatever you call it, after school.
Yeah. They just call it ASP here, after school programs. Yep.
And so none of the students had really seen it except for the few people who were there at the after school thing. So I show up and I go to tell his teacher and she's like, "Hey, Michael." And she's like, "What happened?" I was like, "He slipped and fell in the cafeteria." She's like, "In the cafeteria? I just, there's no way I didn't notice that if he came back from lunch looking like that." I'm like, no, this was after school. She's like, "Hi." I'm like, she's like, "I would retire right now if I didn't notice that."
Oh, dear Lord.
He became like a little mini celebrity at school. "Have you seen Michael's eye? Michael, how's your eye?" Anyway, so I got to work from home after we finally brought him back from the ER, and I was like, "Oh, working home from home is the best." Especially if you do it in the off hours, like no one's IMing you for more shit to do. You're right there in your own house. You're like, "Oh, I want this. I have it right here because I own it." It was the best.
Yeah, yeah, there are benefits to it.
I was like, "Michael, you feeling sick? was that you?"
It's like the kind of like Munchausen's by proxy, but you just want to not go to work. It's not that you want the attention; you just want to stay home.
Sir, this is the worst. This is the worst case of this I've ever seen. I find you guilty and deplorable.
Actually, it'd be kind of like anti-Munchausen. It's like you don't want other people recognizing and, like, you know, fawning all over you. In fact, you want less attention. You want to be able to just do your job and have other people leave you the fuck alone.
Exactly. Oh, it's beautiful. I got so much work done.
Yeah.
How was
it? Could be really nice to.
How was Michael's birthday party, Tim?
It was great.
Yeah. Thought I was going to get an invite.
Did anyone offer to even his eyes out?
Oh, unfortunately, so his birthday weekend was Friday, party at school. Saturday was his actual birthday. We took him to Chuck E. Cheese. Sunday was the party. Monday, he hurt his eye.
Gotcha.
I was like, I guess I bet I can pick which is your least favorite part of your birthday weekend.
Yeah. Oh, it's Monday. Garfield had it right.
Got a case of the Mondays.
So if you're having a bunch of 7-ish-year-olds for a party, and you want a Star Wars theme party, you go to Amazon, get them 30 inflatable lightsabers. Just blow them up, let the kids whack each other with them. You've just wasted an hour of you just ate up an hour of time.
Sometimes when you're an adult, you can go get some cheap disc guns and run around your work shooting each other. Mm-hmm. Kills hours of time.
Yeah, but nobody, we weren't trying to stop somebody, you know, we weren't. No one was supervising us and needed a break.
Are you sure?
Fair point.
Steph's like, "I'm just sick of their shit. Hey, just like drop the word disc and gun casually into conversation. See what happens."
I still had that gun for a very long time. I finally got rid of it. Well, I guess guns.
Yeah, I got rid of mine a long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away.
It made me think of you, Tim.
Solo. Tim's coming in his pants.
I don't know that I'm coming in my pants. It's not Harrison
Ford. And all over his underwear.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
Although yesterday was Star Wars Day, May the 4th, and so I did dress up first as Darth Vader, and then after I took off Darth Vader, Han Solo was underneath.
That movie is coming out very soon.
It is coming out very soon.
Is so, Deadpool first?
I don't remember. They're like back to back.
Yeah, they're really close together. One of them's going to eat the other one.
And it's going to be delicious.
Yep. I don't know. Have we? I think it was years ago that we actually told listeners about this, but you know how there's the trope of guys putting like a bikini. Like poster above their bed or like, you know, on the underside of a bunk bed or whatever, like, you know, it's in movies and shit. Tim had a huge, huge, like life-size poster of Harrison Ford above his bed. So yeah, we know what you spanked it to.
Sir.
Yes.
Harrison Ford was on the wall. Sarah Michelle Gellar, Simply Irresistible, was on the ceiling.
Oh, that is true. That is true.
Among many others. Like, so my room was wallpapered with posters.
So you could start with Sarah Gellar and then finish to Harrison Ford.
His walls were covered with posters. His floor was covered with trash.
All I'm saying is, I got it covered.
There was a crusty layer under the trash that was all of the bad babies that were not to be.
That
was accidentally alliterative.
So Deadpool is May 18th.
I was just trying to pull that up.
And Solo is May 25th.
Well, I thought Deadpool was... Never mind.
Now, here's the real question. I'm assuming it's because they want... Oh, it's because they're both Disney. Yeah, that'd do it.
What now?
I was wondering why the Solo movie wasn't on May 4th, because that would have been fucking perfect.
Yeah, Avengers was originally on May 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd taken that date.
Yeah.
But then they moved it back a week, and there's no way they're going to put Solo... right after 1 week after Avengers.
Yeah.
Although tickets did go on sale on May 4th.
Now, Tim, this is something I've been meaning to ask you. Who would you pick for young Han Solo?
Bleh.
Or do you
Harrison Ford with digital makeup?
Yeah. Do you know that thing they've been doing to the dudes in the Marvel movies? That.
I was trying to think of like an actor who had like a similar kind of demeanor, and I couldn't think of one.
I was like Dennis Quaid, but he's also still too old. I feel like older, as Dennis Quaid has gotten older, he's gotten a Harrison Ford vibe to him.
Mumbly.
Yes, that is the one and only qualification for being Harrison Ford. So any of these mumble rappers can take the spot as young Han Solo. I don't legit know what that is. I just heard that term bandied about.
It's also because
it sounds like scary young people music, and I say nay.
Mumblecore.
It does.
I've heard of mumblecore, but what is mumble rap?
I have no idea. I assume it's just rappers who don't enunciate.
Yeah, I got to assume. Makes me worried if I listen to it, it's going to be like, is this actually crappy, or am I really the old man going, huh, speak up?
I mean, at some point, we're going to be...
Is it just them covering up that they couldn't think of a rhyme, so they're just mumbling?
Like Shy Ronnie.
Oh, yeah.
Went out at the street, and I hit him with an orange, and then I went to start some charge.
It's funny, because nothing rhymes with orange.
That was intentional.
Yep.
But I'm like, there's also not any good rap lyric that I can end with orange.
Sometimes
I was out in my garden picking an orange. Gangsta life.
Sometimes I like...
Sure is strorange.
What do you like?
Dance.
Noah said, sometimes I like, and then he didn't finish his
Well, name. You guys were still, you know, riffing on the joke.
No, yeah, power through, man. Power.
No, just sometimes he likes. He's just giving us verbs that he does. Sometimes I eat, sometimes I like, sometimes I lay.
I was going to say, sometimes I like Urban Dictionary. One definition for mumble rap is when rappers mumble incoherent absolute garbage for entire album / track, destroying rap as a genre and disgracing black people as a whole.
Wow.
Tell me how you really feel, buddy.
Now, in fairness, that's not mumble rap, that's Kanye.
Ooh, Kanye.
Kanye. Stop it.
Man, there's like, I mean, we don't talk about the news, but there's been so much shit going on in the news.
Has there?
I mean, just the investigation. Bill Cosby got convicted. They got kicked out of the Academy thing. So did Roman Polanski, finally.
Yeah, it turns out that Donald Trump wrote the glowing review of his own health stuff, not his doctor, surprising absolutely no one.
And also didn't know about the money.
Oh, yeah.
Ray Giuliani is like, just been yeah, he knew about
straight
it.
Yeah. No, of course he knew about it. But he said, and they said, and everyone, and his whole defense is predicated upon... Well, I guess this is done. I mean, like, handcuffs now? I'm confused. When handcuffs? Someone explain when handcuffs.
I mean, I'm sure there's always stuff. I just feel like as now as an adult, I pay more attention to that shit. As a kid, I was like, I don't give a fuck. Something's going on. Or as a young adult.
Yeah, Noah's finally gotten woke.
Something like that. There's always something else you can be woke about.
This is true.
Not me. I'm tired. I'm asleep.
I just got woke about kombucha.
Like you've never had it?
I don't even know what it is. I know it's a drink.
Oh.
I don't know anything more about it.
It's a fermented drink. And it's supposed to have probiotics in it. It's supposed to be good for your gut.
Okay.
I think it's delicious.
Okay.
Some people don't like it.
Hang on.
Mm-hmm.
Fermented like yogurt or fermented like beer?
Beer.
Oh.
It is mildly alcoholic. Although they do make alcoholic versions of it.
So can you have it when you're taking antibiotics or will you power the Enterprise?
Wait, what?
There's a war in my tummy.
There's probiotics in it and I'm taking antibiotics. If you put them together, will they power the Enterprise?
No.
Oh.
I was going to say they'll just create biotics, but no. That couldn't be right. I guess null biotics?
I create biotics. Giggity.
Do you, Timbo?
Over your mama's face, neck, and chest.
Oh.
I don't think you do.
In a crusty layer underneath the trash on your floor in the tan house.
That's more like it.
No.
That's more like it.
Callback.
Not on the floor. Don't be silly.
Yeah, on the floor.
I would have to move things out of the way to get it to the floor. That's too much effort.
Tim, why is there a whole roll of paper towel in your room when you clearly don't do any cleaning with it?
I don't know what you're talking
about, baby. Hey, baby. Hey, I don't know what you're talking about.
Ben Crosby doesn't masturbate.
Beat your children with a sack of Vidalia oranges. No, that would be onions. What's it? Shit. Family Guy had a great reference there of him beating his kids with oranges.
Venom comes out in October?
Yeah.
What a random time for that to come out.
Andy!
Well, that's Oscar season, Tim.
No, you're Tim. But yeah. Andy... When I saw the trailer for Upgrade, I thought that was Tom Hardy for a little bit.
Me too.
I was like, wait, is this, like, when I first saw him, I'm like, is this another trailer for Venom? It looks a little different.
Meanwhile, I'm watching, I'm like, man, Tom Hardy's in everything now.
Oh, that movie.
He's like this generation's Jude Law, which I guess would also be Jude Law, because the dude's like 40.
And now he's in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them sequel.
Yes, he is.
That comes out November 16th.
Upgrade looks like it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It does.
Like, I just like how he looks like all surprised when he's fighting. Like, I don't know what I'm doing right now.
Yep. They had to hire guys like, hey, we need you to fight guys. Okay, yeah, all right. But no mean mugging. Wait, what do you mean? No. You're not a badass. You got to be absolutely surprised. Like someone else is puppeteering you, and you're kicking their ass, but it's someone else doing it with your arm. And you're just like, what did my arm just do?
Creed 2 is coming out this year? Does that mean they made it? It's done?
Looks like they made it. I guess, maybe. Who knows?
Coming out the same weekend as Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Oh. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of...
Robin Hood, a movie that they've apparently made with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, that looks okay.
I'm like, is this what people were hoping for?
It's funny. The thing that the internet lost its shit over wasn't like, what's Jamie Foxx doing in a Robin Hood movie? It was, why is there machine stitching in his hood? Seriously. But then, like, you go, like, you watch the trailer for it, or, like, all the production stills, and you're like, yeah, it looks like they were just, like, shopping at Urban Outfitter. Like, dude, it's not like a hood, like, you know, made of like, period-appropriate shit. It's like a hoodie.
Oh, shit. Aquaman and the Bumblebee Transformers movie spinoff come out the same day.
Oh, which one will I ignore harder?
Which one I want to see least.
I know.
Wait, what were the choices again?
Aquaman or Bumblebee,
Aquaman.
The Transformers
I'm
spinoff.
I'm going to see Aquaman.
Oh, you know, it's really bad, but I'm supposed to be washing my hair that day.
Both of them?
Yeah.
I do not remember telling you about that movie. And maybe I just forgot about it because it's not memorable. Beyond the fact that like, they're
Bumblebee
making
movie?
A Bumblebee movie.
Yeah. And like it comes out later this year and I haven't heard fuck all about it.
I can't imagine it's going to be good.
I mean, none of the others have been, no. Have they?
Like, how would they start now? Maybe yeah, this is going to be
all of a
like
sudden it's like we hired Academy Award winning writers.
This is going to be the opposite of the Wolverine Origins movie. It'll be the movie that nobody wanted them to make, and it turns out to be amazing after everything that preceded it sucking.
This is good.
That would be fantastic.
That would be amazing. I can't believe what they did with the characters.
Oh my goodness. The way his stupid radio voice says radio songs. Shut up.
Oh, man. It'd be so funny if it was a prequel and it was before his voice box got fucked up and it's just Patrick Stewart. Because then you think of it, like, and then, like, his voice gets fucked up and you realize that's like Patrick Stewart stuck using just random clips from the radio for the rest of his existence. What a hellish nightmare the Bumblebee character lives.
Or Bobcat Goldthwait.
Oh, yeah.
Or Fran Drescher.
Ooh. No, Bobcat Goldthwait is funny because then the radio clips actually make him more intelligible.
Oh, it's a mumble rapper. Yeah. That's who Bumblebee's going to be. I'm so out of it.
Oh, we're old now.
Mm.
Oh, man. I heard somebody at work saying something about dubstep, and I was about to say something like, you know, I actually discovered I kind of like dubstep, and then I realized they were talking like such smack about dubstep and how dubstep sucks and everything. I'm like, oh, 20-somethings don't like dubstep. Fuck. I thought I was keeping current.
You got a snub step.
It's not bad. I'm into it. What do you guys think about the Ocean's 8 trailer?
It doesn't really light my world on fire, but I still want to see it.
Yeah, I'll see it.
I feel completely neutral about it because I am aware of having seen the Ocean's 8 trailer and cannot remember a single bit of content from it.
It's
there is a scene where she's sitting in front of like a crypt wherever they keep dead people. That's not just morgue. A random cemetery. Like it's a room. It's like a wall. Oh. And yeah. The name on the wall is Danny Ocean. I'm like, did they kill off his character just because he wouldn't show up?
Hmm.
Oh, I missed that part.
Oh, it was all over the internet.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
That'd be weird.
Or maybe he faked his death and this is all just an elaborate con against all of the movie going... No, they totally killed his character. Just
I still really
I hope they faked his death. That would be way better. And more in keeping with his character.
Yes, it would.
I still like the Ocean's 12 movie.
Ah, Noah.
What?
Sorry.
Sorry, Noah, I couldn't hear you. I was trying to come up with your name.
I said I still like the
and I was enjoying Tim trying to come up with your
Fuck
name.
Fuck it.
No, I'm sorry.
No, I'm done.
Sorry. No, Noah. That sounds as good as Tim, but Noah.
Moving along.
No.
Anyways, it doesn't seem to have the same kind of charisma that the first one had. From the trailer. Maybe once I see it, look, it'll be amazing.
Yeah, someone did a side-by-side comparison of when Clooney was doing his post-prison interview and her shot, and like just how uninteresting her shot is. And I don't want to put it on Sandra Bullock, like she was the one behind, you know, the DP or whatever.
Right.
But like the composition of the shot is way more interesting in Clooney's case than it is in Sandra Bullock's case.
I mean, well, it's Steven Soderbergh who, you know, makes some weird movies, but I also feel like he's a pretty decent director.
Like, they're always very stylish.
Yeah, looking. Very stylish, yeah. Very good, like, cinematography, which I don't know how much is the director and how much is the DP.
It's a collaborative effort.
Gary Ross, who, yeah, I guess he's a name. Yeah, I wouldn't say his movies are known for, let's see, what has he directed? Hunger.
I don't know who that
the
is.
The Hunger Games and Seabiscuit and Pleasantville.
No, Pleasantville had a really strong visual identity, I thought.
Yeah, but I mean, it had a hook of, you know, the black and white and color mix.
Yeah, like, was it the framing, or was it more just, like, it was visually interesting because, like...
Yeah, no, because it was definitely the framing, too, because it was shot very much to look like kind of a 50s sitcom at the black and white start, and then as the movie started to get more complex and the colors started to come in, they started to use more complicated, like, camera moves and, you know, like, shooting from different angles... You know, became less just, you know, straight across two shots and stuff like that.
Okay. It's been a while since I've seen that movie.
Since I've seen that movie, too. Oh, shit!
No!
I just looked up Steven Soderbergh to see, like, what else he's been working on recently. He's doing... Well, okay, he's producing. Sorry, Man, I thought maybe he was directing. Well, maybe he is. Let's scroll down to director. Bill and Ted Face the Music. Sorry, I realized
so
I should actually...
So it is actually happening?
Apparently.
Is that a movie, though, or is that like a short?
No. Supposedly it's a movie. And, like, Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter have been, like, posing for, like, promotional shit together recently.
Yeah, he's not directing
I think
it.
Also includes.
Hmm.
Oh, and William Sadler is back, apparently.
Have you guys looked at, like, the credits for the next Infinity War or next Avengers movie?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
I did.
Why would you do that?
I mean, you know,
why?
I think I have some...
You don't even watch trailers. What are you doing to yourself?
I have an idea of what might happen.
Hey, everybody has an idea of what might happen. You just don't want it spelled out for you.
It doesn't spell you. It doesn't spell anything out.
So...
I mean, literally, that's what credits do. They spell things out.
I don't know how much faith you should give that, because before it was released, there was a bunch of people credited in the first Infinity War, and people not credited in the first Infinity War who did and did not show up.
Got it. Okay. So
that is true.
There's a bunch of wrong information out there.
Okay.
So I was surprised by some people that were there, and I was surprised by the absence of other people.
So, Avengers.
Do we want to toss up the spoiler noise and then...
Well, do we want to say just a thumbs up, down before we get into spoilers?
You're right. Yeah, we should definitely do that because we don't want people to miss out on all of the golden content of knowing whether three chuckle fucks actually enjoyed a movie.
Well, when you put it like that, it really, really put me in my place. Thanks, Andy.
I'm just trying to keep us humble, Tim.
Two
you're a chuckle fuck like the other two of us.
Down.
Oh, yes.
Worst Marvel movie ever.
Down so far, it goes all the way through the earth, pops out the other side, and it's thumbs up in Australia.
And I'm including the one where Spider-Man danced.
Are you including the fact that they released the first two episodes of Inhumans as an IMAX thing?
I did not see that. Was it terrible?
Oh, it was god awful. I mean, I didn't see it. I just saw it on regular TV when it finally aired. I was like, nope. Sorry, Marvel. You picked the perfect one to lose me. Although I still haven't finished Punisher yet either. But that was just, like, it's just not grabbing me. It's not like it's awful. I'm like, this just isn't...
Right.
This isn't my speed.
It's just not your show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
Punisher...
This is well made, but bye.
Yeah. Fucking brutal. Brutal.
What are we talking about?
Daredevil's pretty brutal.
Oh, okay.
Punisher was brutal, brutal.
So, Avengers.
Yes. I'm definitely giving it thumbs up. I'm trying to, you know, not have it be like, oh, it's just the newest, hottest Chinese thing I've seen, and I feel more positive about things. Because I also feel pretty good about, not Attack of the Clones, Phantom Menace. Like, we first walked out, and like, you got that high of like, we just watched new Star Wars shit, and it was awesome! And then we're sitting around at, was it Chili's afterwards?
Yes.
And we're like, yeah, but Jar Jar, though. And also, this didn't make sense. And did anybody else feel like the pod race went on a really long time? And what the fuck up was it? Was with this? And why was it like there wasn't? It was an argument about trade. Like that. That's really how all this shit's gonna kick off. Yeah. So I'm trying to temper my reaction to this thing, so that I'm not like overly optimistic. But you know, looking back and stuff, I felt like there was. For a movie that was just chock-a-block with heroes, there was good character development, there was a shitload of action. You know,
they did a really good job of keeping the tone, the disparate, fairly disparate tone of all the different franchises that mushed together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they cut over to the Guardians, like, they immediately, like, I guess they actually asked James Gunn to pick, you know, James Gunn gave them a list of songs that they should use, and they picked one from that so that it still had the feel of the Guardians movies when they cut over to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, when they cut to Wakanda, it still had, like, a bit of the Black Panther feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you weren't watching one homogenized movie, but also it wasn't, like, jarring to go from thing to thing. Like, oh, what happened? Like, it's like someone just changed the channel, yet, like, the plot thread is still sort of there. Like, and just juggling so many different things happening at the same time. It's
yep.
like the finale of Return of the Jedi, where there's like a lightsaber battle going on the Death Star, a space battle going on around the Death Star, and then a ground battle going on Endor for the last like half hour of the movie. It's
mm-hmm.
that, but the entire 2.5 hour runtime is like three things going on at the same time, and they still keep it going. Mwah.
Yeah. And some of those threads were like, they intersect and then like diverge again. And yeah.
I was like, I would not want to have been given the task to write this movie because this seems super hard.
Yeah.
All right. You got 147 characters. They all have to have their own beat and you have to have some emotional arcs in there. Also, we got to see people fight and this need to happen to set up the next one. Go.
And who directed this one?
The Russo brothers, the guys who did Civil War and Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Like, I would have totally just Kevin Smithed it, and you would have just cut to Dante and Randall telling you what happened.
And who did? Who does the Stranger Things? What brothers are those?
Brothers from another mother.
Not different brothers, though, right?
Duffer. Okay. Duffer Brothers.
I mean, it's amazing to me that I feel like most of these movies they have are like people you've never heard of or haven't really heard much of, and they do a good job. Like, it's not like, oh, it's Joe Smo, and he kind of fucked it up. It's like, oh, I've never heard that guy based on some movies I've seen or maybe not seen, but...
I think that's why they hire people you haven't really heard of, because that way the producers can have a little... Like, they're not going to be able to throw their dick around and be like, no, well, I'm an auteur, and this is how I want to do it. You know, they're not going to be able to Zack Snyder all over your Batman versus Superman.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that's bad, right? Like, if you're a good director, you have a good vision, and they kind of stomp on it. Like, isn't that why Josh Whedon was
really
unhappy?
Need to, they, yeah, they need to strike that balance,
Wright left Ant-Man.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, but it gets down to, like, Ant-Man still needed to fit within the wider Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the tone of Ant-Man still needed to, you know, make sense then when, mild spoiler for a movie that's been out for a while, Ant-Man shows up in Civil War. Like, that character needed to be able to fit with the rest of everything.
But, I mean, I would think Edgar Wright would be aware of that.
I guess he wanted to do something that Marvel didn't want to do, so he eventually parted ways with them.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah. I was going to say, you would think so, but at the same time, I would say it's clear he didn't. Which, you know,
just means, like, he wanted to do something that they didn't want him to do. It doesn't mean it wasn't necessarily going to fit with the overall movie, or maybe it didn't fit the way they wanted it to, but it would have been fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but I'm sure it would have been fine for the movie as a whole, but like they're thinking, you know, 2, 3, 4, 7 pictures ahead.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can say what you want about directors and their vision, but clearly Kevin Feige knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Because we keep going, like, to watch them.
I couldn't hear you over this wall of money in between you and me. Speaking of which, I heard Robert Downey Jr. made $200 million between Avengers 3 and 4.
Woo!
Like, the budget for the two movies was $1 billion, and $400 million of that was spent on talent, and half of that went to Robert Downey Jr.
Woo!
I'm like, what are you doing with $200 million?
Making sure that Robert Downey III never fucking has to work.
I mean, and it's not even like... I wouldn't even say, like, he's the heart of the... I mean, he's good. I don't know if he's, like, $200 million good.
So, he was definitely, going into all of this, he was by far the biggest name going into the Marvel Universe.
Well, I mean, when Iron Man first came out, like, he was a name, but he certainly wasn't a star.
That is true. I mean, he had been, but yeah, that was kind of his comeback.
Yeah, it was that and Tropic Thunder the same year. Like, he was not like a bankable, you know, like Robert Downey Jr. can open a movie until Iron Man and Tropic Thunder the same year.
Yeah, he was kind of the, we'd love to do Robert Downey Jr. because he's a great actor, but we're not sure that we can get him insured.
Exactly.
And it's so funny because, like, he's not even really acting. He's just kind of being Robert Downey Jr. Like, I've watched interviews with him.
Do you remember a decade ago when they were like first coming out with this? They said, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. is going to be Iron Man. And we were all like, that is perfect. Because it's the snark and the ego, but then also the, you know, kind of the demons and the self-doubt and the addictive personality and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I missed most of that. I was busy yelling at my child.
We were just talking about
Robert Downey Jr. We like him.
Yeah, perfect casting for Tony Stark because of, like...
Yes, because he has a lot of the same issues that the character does.
Yeah. I just found a much longer way of saying that.
I mean, of course you did, Andy.
That's, of course I did. 10 years of Tancast, if you don't expect that, I don't know what to tell you. Did you know the Marvel Cinematic Universe is almost exactly as old as Tancast?
Holy shit.
I didn't. Who's older?
Marvel. I think Iron Man came out a couple weeks before our first Tancast did.
So, Indiana Jones?
Yes. I'm pretty sure Iron Man came out before Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Well, I think Iron Man came out in early May, and we recorded the last weekend of May.
I think it actually came out May 24th.
Oh. No, then it only beat us by a little
bit. Memorial Day weekend. And then, because didn't our first episode come out in June?
Yep.
Yeah. So we should have a similar logo to the Marvel Studios logo, where it turns into the number 10.
10-cast.
Doesn't make any sense. Just drawn on there in crayon.
No, you're just right over the A with a big E.
Hi, I'm Tim, the T in Tancast. I'm Andy, the E in Tancast.
Oh, I'll do it. For our 10-year episode, I will do that. I will be Andy, the E in Tancast. Damn it, I almost said the N in Tancast. I got to practice.
Are you going anywhere Memorial Day weekend? Either of you?
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
Cool. I don't think I am either. However, is it next weekend? I'm in Washington State. No, it's not next weekend. It's really not important for me to nail this down. Okay. The weekend after that, the 19th, 20th.
Oh, goody. I can't record that weekend either.
Woohoo! You guys get a weekend off from Tancast.
I could record.
You're like, you know, I will listen to Tancast, but at this point it's just because I feel like if I stop that these guys are going to get suicidal.
Noah, you can feel free to record by yourself that week. Be like, hey, this is Noah. I'm going to tell you how it is. Here are my thoughts.
Here's what I think about it.
I think we're ready to get into spoilers now.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Yep.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Holy fucking shit! Everybody died.
Holy fucking shit, indeed. Holy fucking shit. Oh, my God.
When Black Panther goes, that's when both times the crowd is like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when Bucky goes, you're like, yeah, what are you gonna do, Bucky? And you're like, oh, there goes Falcon, whatever. And then, like, come, this is not a place to die. And they're like, what? He just made $1 billion. Why would they kill him off?
Yeah.
Because, guys, he's not dead. He's coming back.
Of course not, but...
Yeah.
It's still, like, for the moment of, like, wait, whoa, I didn't see that.
I know.
Because I feel like everybody went in thinking either or both Downey and Evans were going to be taken out, and both of them end the movie still on their feet.
Yep. Although, you noticed Stark trapped alone.
Not technically. Amy Pond is still there.
Was she... No, she was with Thanos. She wasn't on... She wasn't part of their fight.
Wait, what are you talking about? No, yes, she was fighting Thanos with the Guardians and Spider-Man and Dr. Strange.
She showed up later. She crashed the spaceship into him.
That's true. Yeah, sorry, I forgot. I've only seen it once.
I've seen it three times.
Yeah, so much shit going on, I forgot.
I saw it twice, once because, or definitely I saw it again because I was like in the second row at the very edge, so I was just at a funky angle that I did not enjoy. So I was like, I'm going to go see this straight on. Side note, there's a motherfucker texting and doing little video clips of the movie the whole time. Like, off and on. And I kind of yelled at something at once, and no one else seemed to care. So I was like, well, I'm not going to fucking cause the scene, you know, because, like, no one else seems to be bothered by it. And then finally another lady says something, and he, you know, I wait, like, maybe, like, a few seconds, and he's still on his phone, and I finally get up, and I'm like, you get off your phone, I'm going to report you. And he looked at me like I was an asshole. Like, what the fuck's your problem?
Yeah, that's the thing, is assholes, like, go out of their way to convince themselves they're not the assholes.
Yeah. Wow. When Jeff and I saw it the first time, as we were leaving, someone had a full-on phone tripod hooked up to their seat. I'm like, just supposed to be subtle about that? Like, the lights are up. We can see you. Take that down. But unfortunately, well, you know, there was no theater employee to report him to, so he got away with it. I'm like, there's nobody here. Like, why isn't somebody here cleaning the seats so that we can tell them, hey, look at fucking Scorsese up there trying to take a video of Infinity War. I was like, well, he got away with it because there were no meddling kids.
I mean, that's...
And then the second time I saw it, it was like 10:45 at night, and somebody bought their goddamn baby.
I saw it at 3 in the afternoon, and two rows ahead of me was just a fucking passel of kids. It was like you guys, she got to cross her legs or something. Just hold the next one in, because you've already got 5.
Wow, Eddie.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, and they were like, I think the oldest may have been like 7, and they had a fucking 2-year-old there. And that 2-year-old was talking. not quiet. Just like, Daddy! Daddy!
Whew. Nope.
Yeah.
So you shut that goddamn kid up.
Like, you shut him up or I'm going to have your kid flavored popcorn.
Thanos, this one. Take this one.
I heard some people complain about like the CGI. I thought it was pretty good, like for Thanos.
I think Thanos looked amazing. His lady helper gal, the one that ended up fighting like Scarlet Witch. She looked like a video game character.
Yeah.
Like just cropped out of like, you know, God of War 6 or something, and just like,
okay.
She looked like as bad as Steppenwolf in Justice League. I was like, well, did you run out of money for her?
I was just amazed how much it looked like Josh Brolin. Like, I was like, this is CGI. This has to be CGI. That's not like prosthetics, because it looks a lot like him.
Yeah, it's all CGI.
Yep.
And he has some weighty emotional moments that play well on his face.
They do. Yeah.
I was like, this is good shit, guys. What do you want?
They had like little like subtle facial, I don't want to say tics, and just like a moment where like, you know, like you could see like a cloud of doubt on his face, or like, you know, a moment where like something actually hit him emotionally and he reacted even though he was trying to be stoic.
And like the textures on his skin and stuff. I was like, ooh, this is good looking stuff.
Yep.
Come a long way, baby.
Yes, we have. Holy shit. Yeah, I was watching Shrek with Drew last night. And I'm watching. I was like, man, I remember when that was like state of the art hair and material and fire effects. And now I see all of the cheats in all of them.
Like, when they get to Wakanda basic. And they have like a big shield around it and a bunch of drones like coming in, I'm like, ugh, this is what the Phantom Menace wished it was.
Yeah. Now, some people have actually like put them side by side and been like, hey, look at Marvel biting off of Lucasfilm. But they did it so much better.
Yes.
Because in Lucasfilm, it's like, we have a giant shield. And the droids are like, yeah, we walked through that.
Well, not like, only
okay,
that.
Then what's the shield it's for?
It's not like Black Panther bumbles his way around to defeating the other, like, oh, Misa Tripp. Whoa, no. Yeah.
That would have been hilarious if all of a sudden he turned into, like, Jar Jar Binks.
Speaking of hilarious, I love his bald guard lady. I don't remember her name.
I can't remember her name either.
Okay. Like, I want a movie with her, Scarlet Witch, and Scarlett Johansson. Like, when they were all team, I was like, I want this. I want an entire movie of this. The three of them solving crimes. like, she is so, like, when Banner is in the Hulkbuster thing and he, like, trips and falls over, and she just gives him this side eye, like, And then when Scarlet Witch comes down and destroys all those things, why was she up there the whole time? And it's one of those things that, having watched too much of CinemaSins, I know that they're going to say, this character would be excellent at CinemaSins. did you notice that the movie begins and ends with a distress signal?
I did not.
No, it does.
Over the Marvel logo, it's the distress signal from the Asgardian ship, voiced by Kenneth Branagh, the director of the first Thor. And then at the end is they're sending a page to Captain Marvel... hey, help. I hope you don't get erased.
Yeah.
I hope you're still out there somewhere.
I wonder how they're dealing with this in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I feel like they must not be. Because this takes the entire weight out of this season. Because, like, they're fighting to stop the world from cracking in half. I'm like, I mean, half the world is already gone.
So what are they fighting in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
So they got sent to the future at the very beginning of the season to find out that right after they left, or not long after they left, something happened that destroyed half the world, and now humanity's been enslaved by the Kree. So then they go back to right after they left to try and stop it from happening, but they don't know how exactly it happened. So they're trying to not have it happen, and we don't know how they're going
to
do that.
Did they go to the future on purpose?
No. Someone sent them to the future because that was going to help. But I don't know how that does help, because this person says that time is like it's like an unescapable loop. So like this is going to happen no matter what. So I'm like, well, then why'd you send them to the future? What was the point of that?
Okay.
Very weird. I mean, it's interesting, but weird.
Yeah, I got the feeling that it was that, you know, that everyone else is convinced that time is an inescapable loop, but that this character thinks that, you know, maybe there's a chance that it's not. And recklessly going to try to.
Well, it's a flashback to, like, the second season, because there was this character who could predict the future, and mm-hmm. it would predict specifically people's deaths. And anytime people tried to stop it, it never worked. The person always died the way the person predicted it, no matter what they did to try and stop it. So that was where they got the theory that time is, like, even though we perceive it, like, it's already happened. You can't change it. And so the character who's predicted this is that character's daughter. And so has similar powers, except they just see time out of order all the time. And so the idea is that, like, it's already happened, and I was going somewhere with this, and I forgot where it was because I was talking too long.
Don't you hate that? So, you're like, why did I start on this?
Yeah, sorry, I was talking about a different character that I think felt like, you know, maybe that this is a misinterpretation. And that, yeah, maybe stuff is like a loop within itself, but maybe it's possible to, like, completely break out of the loop. Not necessarily to change the predicted future, but maybe it's possible to, like, unmake that prediction. Sorry, I'm trying to put into words something that is hard for me to wrap my head around. But the fact that, like, maybe time travel fucks that up. Not just, like, hearing the prediction and trying to get around it, but maybe, like, being a thing out of time and then going back to another time, that maybe that gives you the ability to break the prophecy.
Maybe.
Because now you have existed separately from the prophecy.
Supposedly.
Anyway, it's a fairly interesting season that will more than likely be its last.
Huh.
They have not been able to keep the rating. The ratings keep going down no matter what they do.
Mm.
And I think they were just barely saved by Disney last season.
I think for whatever reason, like, superhero TV shows always have, like, not always, a lot of the times have a cheesiness to them that I just don't enjoy. And I don't know what it is. I see it most of the time. I'm just like, it just is not the same as the movie. Obviously, well, not, it's not obvious, like, because TV shows are definitely different now. Like, it's not like how it used to be where, like, movies are so much better. Like, you know, TV is on par with movies now. Or can be, as far as, like, quality and content and special effects and writing.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has had some pretty good special effects, pretty good CGI.
Especially considering the whole first half of the season took place in essentially space, because it was Earth cracked in half,
okay.
Where half the Earth was gone.
I think I just never watched it. I mean, also, I think it was, yeah, I don't know, if I cared about any of the characters that were on it. Whatever.
So, Avengers.
Avengers.
we wandered off there for a bit.
It was...
Well, that's what we do.
It's funny. Had some funny parts, I should say. I like the part. There's a couple parts I like. I like it when Star-Lord is, like, doing Thor's voice.
Yes.
Also, like, they had, like, a small person paying a dwarf that was a giant.
Yes. Although, I will never forgive them for the huge missed opportunity when Tony Stark and Doctor Strange are arguing.
Mm-hmm.
At no point does one of them say to the other, "No shit, Sherlock." That joke was right there for you.
Oh, yeah.
Just waiting to happen. And then Peter Parker just, like, raises his eyebrow, and they just keep going with the scene. Like, that's all they needed to do. That joke is just ready for you.
Yeah. So it's probably reading too much into it, but there is a line in there about, we're not friends. I just consider it a professional courtesy.
Think that might have been a reference to it?
Yeah. On the one hand, it's like, okay, it's totally explainable by the characters both being superheroes. And it's like, okay, yeah, he's just here to save another superhero. But on the other hand, that and their whole, like, you know, kind of banter back and forth, where it's like they instantly just sort of, like, grate on each other, mm-hmm. could also be, I think, legitimately just them sort of playing with the idea that here's two Sherlock Holmeses that are, you know, kind of feeling each other out.
Mm. And fuck Star-Lord.
I thought it was like, hey, look, here's one rich genius who is also very arrogant and... here's another one that costs, you know, $200 million a film, so get ready, we're going to phase out this one, and this one's going to be the new one.
Yeah, it's always possible. But man, I was kind of hoping that that Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman would have a scene.
Oh, yeah, I don't see how they're going to make that happen.
Yeah.
That would be funny, though.
Yeah. Well, I was certain going into this that we were going to find out that the Soul Stone had been in Wakanda the whole time.
Yeah, I intentionally avoided any theories of where the Soul Stone might be, because I'm like, I want to read it. Like, I'll just find out through the natural course of the movie. Like, even if I've been given clues, I'll wait to have it revealed to me in a cinematic way. Mm-hmm. So then I read the theories. I'm like, y'all don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I assumed that the access that the Black Panthers had to their the ancestor place or whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
that had to do with
the Soul Stone.
Yeah, that was like an emanation of the Soul Stone. That maybe the Soul Stone was like right in the middle of the vibranium crater, and you know, especially once you saw that there was a shitload of battles in Wakanda in the trailer, I thought maybe that's where they're trying to get the Soul Stone.
Yep, you were not alone in that theory. And there was the one where, like, the Soul Stone spelled out Thanos, like T for Tesseract and N for necklace. A for ether, which apparently is spelled with an A.
Yeah, well, AE, it's a diacritic.
Gesundheit.
Or
nerd!
I can't remember. Yeah. I may have used the wrong word for it, though, so, or I may have mispronounced it, because I didn't sleep well.
So much shorter than when he normally does it. Normally you're like, nerd! You're like, nerd! Like someone just hit a nerd release valve real quick.
Nerd! No, just had to hit the purge.
Speaking of which, there's a Purge prequel coming this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joy. I guess.
Happy times are here.
I haven't seen one of them, so I'm not going to start with that one.
Yep. Same here.
All right. I think I got the no shit Sherlock thing. I think I'm officially out of things to say about Avengers. Other than, holy shit, I loved it. It may be my favorite superhero movie.
I will say, even if you have shown them all the rest of the movies and they've been okay with, you know, like other characters dying along the way and, you know, tragedy and whatever, if you take a kid who's almost 10, 9, but really close to 10, even if you have explained to them repeatedly going into this movie that, that some of the heroes may not make it out of this movie, you've not done enough prep work. Your kid's going to cry a lot. A lot. I think I watched Drew's inner child die this week.
Yeah, well, I mean, my son couldn't handle the end of Last Jedi when Luke disappeared. And his father couldn't handle when Force Awakens when Han Solo died. So
yeah,
none of us were ready for this. I didn't show Michael this, and I probably won't. Especially not until he can just spend 5 hours watching it and, you know, everybody comes back.
I don't know what type of Pokemon you guys are, but clearly it's weak to Star Wars deaths.
That's our weakness.
I enjoyed it. It was a good movie. They did a lot. Did not feel long.
No.
No, and I've seen it 3 times, so like you would think, although I did at least stop to go to the bathroom the 3rd time, because I'm like, look, I don't need to kill myself. I've seen this. I'm going
to
pee now.
I unfortunately had to go to the bathroom the first time. Even though I was trying to hold it, and so I did actually miss something that was kind of key. Like, I missed the whole Red Skull thing.
Oh, no!
Dude.
I'm so glad that wasn't spoiled for me. I was like, yeah. Red Skull is in this?
Man, as soon as he started talking, I was like, I know that voice. And then when I was watching the credits at the end, I was like, I didn't know that voice.
Yeah, I was like, there's no way they got him back. He has been very public about saying, yes, I enjoy doing this, but I will never do this again. That was supposed to be my German voice. It was not good.
He's German?
No, but he is in that movie.
Yes. Oh, got it. I didn't think that was, what's his name, but it was, Benicio del Toro.
Yes, me neither. Yeah.
I'm like, that does not look like him.
Like, did he lose a lot of weight or something? Like, what happened to him?
And the fact that, like, he kept putting, you know, like, there kept being stuff between you and him, or, like, he would put his hands up to his face to, like, shout things or to wave bye-bye or whatever.
I thought the same thing. Like, they're not giving a clear shot of his face.
Yep.
I'm like, they got him for the theme park ride. They've got to have gotten him for this. No? All right.
Yeah. But, apparently Weaving had, like, a bad reaction to the makeup, and that's why it was... I can't remember the actor's name. He was on Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, and I still can't remember his name.
And isn't he in Walking Dead as well?
Maybe. I haven't seen any Walking Dead.
Me either.
Not Anthony Stewart Head, that's Giles. Fuck! Yeah, well, whatever. The guy who played Wesley in Angel and Buffy played, quote-unquote, the other, Thanos' right-hand man. The guy who, like, zaps Loki in the head to kind of punish him for fucking up in Avengers. And then who Ronan breaks his neck.
Oh, right.
That was supposed to be Red Skull. The intention for that character was for it to be Red Skull.
Oh! Well, skibble my dibble.
Yep. But they've done so much more stuff with motion capture as opposed to, like, uncomfortable prostheses that take chunks of skin off your face, which I think it was an allergic reaction. So I think it was, like, swelling up or, like, he had some other, like, massive health issues from it. But when I heard the voice, I was like, oh, yeah, they can totally bring him back now because they could have just done, like facial mocap. But nope, just somebody doing a great Hugo Weaving voice.
Oh, I know what I want to talk about before we get off this subject is how they're gonna advertise the next one. Because they can't fall into the Justice League trap of, I don't know, is Superman in this? Maybe he is. Oh, no. He died, though, right? So he's probably dead. He's dead. Mm-hmm. We're going to pretend he's dead. Everybody, he's dead. Don't show him in the ads. He's dead.
Yeah. Don't show him in the ads. Except do put the S up for the... for.
in the S to start Save the World in the posters.
Yes. spell it with the Superman S.
So I feel like whatever happens that brings them back has to happen in the first act of the movie. But if that is the case, I don't know how satisfying that will be. So
why
I feel
does
like
that
they've
to be
really
the first act of the movie?
Into a corner. Because that way it doesn't have to be hidden in the ads. Like it has to be like, okay, everybody's back, and now we have to do this. Like, there has to be a separate... There has to be, like,
oh, I see what you're
everybody's
saying.
Back, but in order to stay back, we have to do this. Otherwise, it's gonna be like, hey, it's up to the original Avengers, Ant-Man, and Captain Marvel to save it, and nobody else is in this movie.
Nobody at all.
Hey. They got Rocket Raccoon.
Oh, okay, they're solid.
That's all they need.
And his new BFF, Thor... Oh,
Rabbit.
Man. Yes.
I bid you farewell and good journey, morons.
Oh, man. Thor, I'm going to have to watch the movie again, but for walking out of the theater, the standout line for me in the movie was Thor's, "Bring me Thanos!" It's
like, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because it's just, like, he shows up, he's wrecking shit, and then, like, he's screaming because he wants a god's head on a plate. It's like, oh, this is God versus God. Come on, do this!
I don't know if that's the line that necessarily stood out for me, but, yeah, okay. That was a good line.
My favorite line is, how long have you been standing there? An hour. Oh, and fuck Star-Lord.
Yes. I mean, yes.
Fuck him right in his stupid face.
But, okay, so they have him right there. I mean, you could pick apart the movie to death, as you can with most, but they have him there. He is essentially stone still and not able to move, why not just stab him straight down his mouth and out his back? Or slice his hand off?
Marvel does like cutting people's hands off.
I mean, it happens in this movie.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Doctor Strange just do that thing where he closes a portal around his hand and send his hand to Poughkeepsie or something?
Mm-hmm.
Or the Sanctorum Song Song's home.
What? Sanctum Sanctorum.
I don't know what it's called. The Song Song home. You know.
Yes, I do know.
The Song 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 home.
And Song 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 is a completely wrong.
You know, Song 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 Song.
Tim, we saw this pass of the script you made for Avengers 4. We're going to have to do some serious rewrites. First of all, it's not called the Soms, 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 Soms.
Soms, 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 Soms.
Second of all, Superman is not in this universe. He can't fix everything.
He can't do everything.
There was a time. We're quoting Black Jeopardy.
Yes, we are. I don't know if they're all good, but man, I've watched like a couple that are pretty funny. Oh.
Yep.
Let me ask you a few questions. is Martha white? Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of which.
She has her own recipe for potato salad? Yes.
And I assume she does not season her food.
Like, not even a little bit of paprika.
So, I have not seen that dude, Chadwick Boseman, in any... I had not seen him not being Black Panther until the interviews for this movie. I was like, whoa, he doesn't have close to that accent.
No.
I thought at least he was, like, English or something. But he's like, yeah, what's up, you know, I'm Black Panther and shit.
He didn't say it like that.
I know, but...
Tim, I felt like that was your white half being racist for a minute there.
Oh, is that what that was?
I think so.
No, I think it's my bad comedian half not being good at impressions.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you remember the German voice from earlier.
Hello, I am German.
And she would,
my German accent.
And she would probably put something unnecessary in it, like raisins. Yes, yes. So I want to say it. That makes me laugh every time.
Did you see the Jimmy Kimmel meme tweets with all the Avengers?
The end is near.
Was it
yes.
Good?
Yeah, yes. His was, how did the blackest guy in the universe get the name Chadwick? Oh, all right, we've run way over, and my son has a baseball game soon, which is why we recorded early.
Okay, well, what do we not trust this week?
Never trust motherfuckers to not be on their phone during the goddamn movie.
Yep.
Not today, Avengers actually, you know, winning at the end.
Nope.
I mean, you can tell by the music. It's like, dun, this time they lose, fuck your heart.
Alan Silvestri getting it done.
Oh, yeah.
The first, you know, they actually kept a theme going.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to there's been three Iron Man movies. He had three different themes by three different people in every single movie. Which is why you don't remember what Iron Man's theme song is. He doesn't have just one. Anyway, huh. Andy was about to say something.
No, you're right.
That he hates.
This week I... What do I hate this week? You know what? No, I'm keeping the movie theme. This week, I hate it when people bring inappropriately small children into the theater. Fuck that. Knock that shit off. I get getting a sitter is hard, but there are other fucking people in the theater who played just as much goddamn money as you did. You cheap motherfuckers. Also Donald Trump.
Tancast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Tancast. If you liked it, please tell your friends about it. Post about it on social media, your Twitters, your Facebooks, your MySpace if you're stuck in 2007. Subscribe to us on iTunes and maybe even write us a review on iTunes. If you prefer to get your podcast on Stitcher, don't worry, Tancast is there as well. Go to Tancast.com for all your Tancast needs. Leave comments on this episode. Read blogs whenever we get around to posting them. And you can find links to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, and our Zazzle store. Thanks as always to DJ Technoid, who created the official Tancast TanCast theme, and big thanks to Angela, who created the official TanCast artwork. All right, that's enough plugs. Time to end the show, but please come back again next week. Please!
TanCast. Guys, we did great. 10 years, we've really got this thing nailed down.
Woo! Here's to another 10.
Woo! Oh,
we should do like an Infinity War for our 10th anniversary episode, where we have Jeff and Van and Andy's mom and Caitlin and anybody who's ever been on the show on in one big episode.
That will be crazy.
Or none of that, and just record a normal episode.
You know, I'm gonna predict none of that's gonna happen. That's what I'm gonna guess. If I had to guess.
It'll be the most ambitious crossover in the history of podcasts. Or not. It'll be not that.
Fuck it, let's go all in. Let's get like some nostalgia people on, and like the Drinking Buddies and Grammar Girl. Actually, the Drinking Buddies should be on if we're going to do everybody who's been on.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. That show's going to devolve into chaos when Chris and Andy start arguing about Trump.
Nope.
Wait. It's Chris far, far Trump away from supporter?
Oh, yeah.
Really? I don't
think he's a Trump supporter. He's just not a Trump not supporter.
Yeah, I would say definitely a Trump apologist.
He's a chaotic neutral.
Okay.
I don't think I'm using that term correctly at all.
No, you're not. Not even close.
Yay! All right, I'm going to go fail over here.
Good deal. No. Chris and I will stay far, far away from that. We will have a pleasant and lovely exchange. We'll find our common ground and let the healing begin.